Hello, we're on the air. This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, and tonight again we have with us Madison Walker. Madison Walker has lost her mother this week, and we're going to do a tribute to her mother as well as talk about animal totems and the gifts that they have to give with us. Hello, Madison Walker.
Hello, how are you tonight?
I'm doing pretty well. Thank you for asking. How are you doing?
I'm doing okay, getting better each day.
Well, your mother's had a long bout of being sick, and we know that she's in a better place. And I know it's not any better to be able to say that, and it's just going to take some time, but prayers are with you. We just want you to know that.
Oh, I appreciate it.
She's loved.
She's passed on to a... She had a long life, and she had a happy life, and it's a good thing. And although we miss her here, she's doing well where she is.
Yes, she is. A couple of weeks ago, right when I was talking to her on the phone, remember on the air I was talking about how that big white owl came right in front of my face, and I just saw its big eyes right in my face and the spreading of its wings, and I was talking to you about it, and you said that you also saw the big white owl right as she was passing.
Yes, when I got over, I had been with her in the morning, and I kind of had a lot of anxious anxiety, I suppose, and just missing Mom. Not that it was a bad thing that she was; it was her time. But I did a meditation, and while I was holding her, and I had the owl, a white owl, come, and it was the head of a white owl, and brought a light that was beyond white. It was so white, bright, light, warm, encompassing both of us, and I just felt a very big sense of calm and peace. And when I came out of the meditation, my mom had actually calmed down. Her agitation level had stopped, and she slowly started to stop breathing, and I told her it was okay to go home, and then I heard in my ears, I could hear the flap of the owl wings go, and she left. So it was a very peaceful moment, and it was a very good feeling.
Wow. And that was 2 weeks ago, I believe, I saw the white owl on BBS radio coming right at my face, and then I talked to your mom on the phone, and she was pretty coherent when I was talking to her on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about the white owl and what it represents in shamanism.
Well, the white owl has been very revered over the years and over the centuries. They have abilities that are very different from other birds, and so they can go in and out of areas and places very unnoticed, and so they kind of symbolize them, shape-shifting with shamans and medicine people throughout the different tribes and throughout different lore. As you and I had been speaking, even Celtic lore, they're very honored to be mystical birds. And they have vision and can see and hear things that human ears can't hear and human eyes can't necessarily see. And that also goes with the medicine, which is usually similar to clairvoyance and clairaudience abilities. So they're kind of shared. So when people have them as animal totems or they feel a kinship with them, a lot of times it's a very great honor that they have them, and they're bringing gifts to be shared with people that are around them. Like we were kind of chuckling earlier, they're usually like counselors or therapists or psychologists, people that work with people and can listen well and show people a different kind of a path.
Yes, and also the instincts and traits that they have are characters of discernment as well.
Mm-hmm.
And they're associated with the ability to make transitions from dark into light.
Correct. And the white owl itself is a keeper of light, and they're supposed to make them, people help pass through little deaths or regular death into the spirit realm from their earthly bodies or their earthly problems into another area where they can heal.
Right. As well as, like, the death of, per se, my house.
Mm-hmm.
And getting on with my life with a new house that I love that house so dearly, and I made the decision not to go back to it. And the stomach ache that I had for, what, 2 weeks now, you know, just letting go of it. And, you know, the owl has always been a symbol with me, the white owl. You know, I've always collected them, and I did macrames of them and such as that. And, you know, a lot of people don't know very much about animal totems, but I did a couple of readings in a room about animal totems and had many, many people call in, you know, or call me on the phone and then email me about what is my animal totem. And I'd like to just touch base a little bit on that, if you don't mind.
No problem.
What do you have in mind about the unique traits of various stages in life that we do have with our animal totems since birth?
Well, a lot of times I feel that, and in lore and within the native culture, people are born with totems, animal totems. It's usually an animal that you're drawn to. Myself, my nickname is the bear, and I'm very, very drawn to bears, always have been drawn to bears, and polar bears are for the winter for me, and it's just something that you're drawn to and you kind of get power from. Ravens are another one. People have the ability to, they're another shapeshifter, their ability to slip in and out of the dream worlds and different things. So each animal has a strength that they give to their, what do you call it, their personality, so to speak.
Right.
And usually people are drawn to different, you know, different animals, and it usually fits to who they are. The eagle represents spirituality and within many of the cultures, and when eagles drawn to people, it's a lot of times is because they're on a spiritual quest or they're going to a next spiritual level of understanding. There's all kinds of them. I mean, to pick them is basically, you don't really pick them. They kind of pick you, I suppose, when you think.
Exactly. Well, it's just like a guardian angel, you know. It's like the spiritual animal is with you as well. And, you know, with the Christian faith. And to me, the animals are just there to protect us and keep us from harm and illness and keep negative things away from us as well. And, you know, I've just always been drawn to animals as well as the guardian angels. I have both with me at all times. But the thing is that my animal totems change as I grow.
Correct.
Except for, you know, I've always, the white owl was there with me a long time ago, but it's back again. I don't know whether it was for your mother's passing or what, you know, I just haven't sat and contemplated on that. It's just, you know, when you brought it back up again, it was like, wow, you know, it brought back how it just flew straight into my face and its eyes were just penetrating right at me and its wings were just wide open. And then you told me about that with your mother. And, you know, the religious significance is, you know, to me, is it doesn't really matter as long as we know that, you know, the light, you know, the light and the peace and the love and the tranquility that brings the harmony into our lives. And the other significant that goes with the owl is the horse symbol.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the horse of the power of the horse and the, you know, the wildness of the horse that it can be tamed and it's also, you know, it's what it does for humankind and, you know, how we can ride them and as well as we can, as their loyalty towards us and as well as the dog, the wolf clan and, you know, the members of the wolf clan. I'm a member of the wolf clan and, oh, it just goes on and on and on. You know, a lot of people read animal totem cards. You do that as well, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I do. I don't do a lot of it, but the animals are pretty close to me. I've always had animals around me, and you learn so much from them because they have so much to teach and share. They're just another one of our relations, you know. They're there for all kinds of things, you know. Like you were saying, the horse, you know, it symbolizes freedom and the power that you get from being free, you know. They're an awesome animal, and they're there for many things. If you look into the medicine wheel, you know, and stories, there's different colored horses for, and it actually goes to the Bible, too. There's different colored horses for, represent different things. West and north and south and east, and you would probably know better as far as the Bible, I believe, isn't it?
Yeah, I've sent you some things on the white horse lines up with the black horse,
mm-hmm.
you know, properly aligned, and that is in Revelations. And
I thought it was Revelations, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Also, I was going to ask you the difference between the cultures of the Native American is not so much different than the Christian road.
No, it isn't. And if you really look, most of your religions are all based, they all have very similar, even if you look even like in Buddhism and the Japanese, they look at animals as well within their religious rites as, you know, I don't know if they necessarily call them totems, but they look at them for wisdom. You know, they learn something from them, just like we learn from each other. Animals have much to teach us. They've been here a lot longer, some of them a lot longer than we have, living with us. You know, I just wish people sometimes would learn, take a little bit more time and learn what's going on with them, because we probably have a lot of lessons that we can take and actually put into our own lives on a daily basis.
Oh, someone sent me an email not too long ago, it was the other day, that the fires that they were having, and they were walking through after the fire was gone, you know, out, and the forester guy was saw a bird perched. And it was singed, and it was just sitting there, perched mm-hmm. on the ground. And it sickened his stomach to see it like that, so he kind of tilted it over gently. And underneath it was its little babies just came tweet, tweet, tweeting out, where the mother bird had flown down and flopped over her birds, her babies, and stood still where the mother could have flown away and gone to safety, but yet she hovered over her babies just to protect them.
Wow.
And the fire, you know, went swift over and singed the mother, but yet it protected the babies from her wings.
Wow. That's an awesome story.
Yeah.
It is. Story.
Yeah. But would you like some call-ins to give any animal readings, or have you prepared for that, or would you like some call-ins for anything, or...
Well, that's if they want to call in, yeah, we can talk to them.
Okay. The call-in numbers are 877-876-5227. That's USA and Canada number is 888-815-9756. And the direct line is 530-876-3222. You will be talking to Medicine Walker, Kimberly, and Bright Lights Pathfinders, Kathy. Call in at any time, ask any questions, or she's got medicine cards or, you know, animal totem cards. She could give you a reading, or I could give you some input, or we can just have prayer for her and give her condolences for her mother's passing, or ask any questions on your animal totems.
Or any input they have, or any ideas or input that they have that would love to share with everybody else that they may have, stories they may have about them. And their animal totems and what they've gotten and learned from them.
Oh, yeah. Anything. Any stories that you have would be great. We all always love to hear from the active listeners. And, Kimberly, what is your request for I know you're looking at the water. You're on the water, right?
Yep, I'm right on the river and the lake.
Oh, man.
I get to look at the best of both worlds, except it's all snow right now.
Is it really?
We have a beautiful blanket of snow. We have a full moon glistening off the ice. And we have probably a foot and a half of wonderful white fluffy snow. It's right outside my door as I look right now.
Oh, wow.
So it's very peaceful. Very calming.
It's about time.
Yeah, it's time right now to hibernate and heal.
Yes, it is.
For me. And, I'm working, I'm doing new paintings, and I had sent a picture I had hoped you had gotten to see of of an owl, a new oil that I did.
Isn't that something? That owl just popping up. I told you about my mother having a white feather fall onto her shoulder. And then a week later, a white feather fell into her car. And then a week later, she kept saying she wanted to hear from Daddy or see Daddy, and then a peacock came into her yard.
The peacock.
And he hit the peacock into the medicine wheel for my dad as he passed. And I told her to go and feed the peacock and try to go up to the peacock, and she did, and the peacock fed right from her hands. We looked that up, and it meant rising from ashes.
Mm-hmm.
And, she said, I just wish that peacock would just fly on by, go on about its way and find its home. And I said, well, then tomorrow that peacock will be gone. And sure enough, it was. It left.
That was a real telling thing and a real telling sign for your mother, and it made her feel good and brought her comfort.
Yeah, she just wanted it to find its home, though. That was the thing for her. She didn't want it to. She knew it was tame because it fed from her hands and stuff, and she just wanted to make sure that it had had a storm. We had had a storm about the day earlier, and it had probably gotten flown off course then, afraid from the thunder and lightning. But that was really unique. That opened her way to having dreams with my dad and, you know, feeling him and seeing him and hearing him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, getting closer to him was when that peacock came. But it's really neat to have two white feathers fall first, and then the peacock came.
Well, and if you look at, and I know you and I have been talking for the past few months quite intensely, everybody around us and a lot of people that we've talked to and a lot of people we've known have been looking for signs, and trouble has been everywhere with people, not even trouble, more discontent, and, you know, it's tough right now in the world. We've got a lot of stuff going on, and people are always looking for answers about life and how difficult it is sometimes. And you and I have had our shares the past few months. And if it's okay with you, I'm going to share you something that a good friend of mine stopped and dropped off to me. And she said, you need this right now. And you need to have this so you can share it with some people. And it's a book by Joseph Marshall III, and it's called Keep Going. And if it's okay, I'm going to read you a little passage from it.
Sure.
Because it really kind of hits home. Starts out, a young man asked his grandfather why life had to be so difficult sometimes. And this was the old man's reply. Grandfather says this, in life there is sadness as well as joy, losing as well as winning, falling as well as standing, hunger as well as plenty, badness as well as goodness. I do not say this to make you despair, but to teach you reality. Life is a journey, sometimes walked in light and sometimes walked in shadow. Grandfather continued, you did not ask to be born, but you are here. You have weaknesses as well as strengths. You have both because in life there is two of everything. Within you is the will to win as well as the willingness to lose. Within you is the heart to feel compassion, as well as the smallness to be arrogant. Within you is the way to face life, as well as to fear to turn away from it. Grandfather also said this, life can give you strength. Strength can come from facing the storms of life, from knowing loss, feeling sadness, and heartache, from falling into the depths of grief. You must stand up in that storm. You must face the wind and the cold and the darkness. When the storm blows hard, you must stand firm, for it is not trying to knock you down. It is really trying to teach you to be strong. Being strong means taking one more step toward the top of the hill. No matter how weary we may be, it means letting the tears flow through the grief. It means to keep looking for the answer through the darkness of despair is all around you. Being strong means to cling to hope for one more heartbeat, one more sunrise. Each step, no matter how difficult, is one more step closer to the top of that hill. To keep hope alive for one more heartbeat at a time leads to the light of the next sunrise and the promise of a new day. The weakest step toward the top of the hill, toward sunrise, toward hope, is the stronger than the fiercest storm. Grandfather says this, keep going. And I just want to make sure that everybody kind of hears that and listens to that and takes that to heart, because no matter what's going on in this crazy world we're living right now, we all need to get up in the morning and take that one more step.
Wow, that was awesome. I needed to hear that, I know.
I am very blessed by all my friends and family that have helped and supported us and my daughter Taylor in the past few weeks with my mom. But I just was so overwhelmed with the outpouring from people. And like I said, my friend Renee gave me this book, and it's just it touches so many people's lives right now.
It's
so true. And sometimes we tend to look at bad things, you know. We tend to look more at the negative than the positive. And I think everybody needs to kind of get up in the morning, and instead of looking at all the negative, maybe take stock in all our small blessings, whether they're in the past. You know, be thankful for what we had that was good, and just count all those blessings as blessings and steps to, like they said, you know, something better.
That is well said. Has anybody got any stories that they want to share, the listening audience, or the caller numbers again are 877-876-5227. USA and Canada are 888-815-9756, and the direct line is 530-876-3222. Well, let's give some input on what is your favorite memory. Just some memories. Lessons. Lessons of memories. Doesn't have to be about your mom. It doesn't have to be about, you know, what. Give me a lesson of memory.
Favorite memory that I have?
A lesson of memory.
A lesson of memory. Wow. I can give you a lesson of memory, yes. One of my favorite memories is when I was a child, probably about 6 or 7 years old. And I would go over to my grandparents' home, which was set down in Detroit, in the old section of Detroit, where the homes were really big. Because, you know, back then, a long time ago, people lived like son and daughter, or son and their wife and family lived with the parents. You know, it was kind of a multiple family abode, you know, so to speak. So the homes were pretty big. And I remember being very little in this home, and the house was very big. And I'd go over there, and my mom and dad would bring me in, and I'd go running in, and my grandmother would be in the kitchen, and she'd, I'll bring you out milk and cookies, I'll bring you out milk and cookies. I made some cookies just special for you, you know. I'm being seven, you know, you think, wow, grandma made cookies for me, how cool, you know. And she'd bring them out to you, and every time we'd go over and see her on Sundays, boy, she had those cookies ready for me, and, you know, she fresh baked them. Well, this one day I went over there, and I got over there a little early, and Granny was in the in the kitchen, and I caught her in the kitchen. She said, just stay there in the dining room. I'll be out in a minute. And I was like, no, I'm going to come in and surprise her. And I went into the kitchen and hurried up and put her hands behind her back. What are you doing in the kitchen? I said, well, I came in, you were baking cookies. Well, they're too hot to bring out right now, honey. You go in the other room. I'm like, what do you have behind your back, Granny? She's like, never you mind what I got behind my back. You just go into the other room with your mother. And my grandfather was just sitting there, and he was a-laughing. I know, really, what do you got behind your back? You know, because you're seven, and you want to know what was going on. And my mother was laughing, and I went around my grandmother's back, and she had cookies in a bag. She had gotten cookies and was pretending to bake them. But she didn't want to spoil my fun because she wanted me to have those cookies, even though she didn't bake them. And I'll never forget that as long as I live, how happy she made us all the kids, by bringing out those cookies. But even she had those little secrets where she was buying them from the store to put them out and share with her grandkids. That was one of my favorite stories that I ever had that I will always remember. I tell my daughter, and I always tell other people, stories about grandparents, something that you save for generation to generation.
BBS Radio.
Hello, we're back on the air. We had a little bit of technical difficulty on my end, and we've got a caller. Hello, caller, you're on the air.
Oh, hey there, cuz.
Hey, Carmen, how are you?
I'm fine.
It's good to hear you.
Well, I'm glad you're feeling better.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Gosh, it's been a long haul. You've got Medicine Walker on the line, too. You know Medicine Walker? Medicine Walker, this is my cousin, Carmen.
Hi, Carmen. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm fine. I was trying to listen in on the show, and I was having trouble with my computer, and I couldn't get it to listen, so I thought I'd just call in this way and see what was going on.
We had a little technical difficulty.
Oh, okay. I thought it was my computer. I was like, why can't I hear?
I was talking as if I was on the air, because you know me, Chad and Cassie.
Well, that's all right. You just put me into a panic call 911. So I'm breathing again now. Thank you very much. I am alive.
She's done that to me before, Carmen. She's called 911 on me before.
But it was
is this the person who called 911 when you were sick?
Yeah, she's the one that called 911 on me when I had that carbon monoxide poisoning.
Thank you so much for doing that.
This is my sister, so I love her, and I don't want her going anywhere. So believe me, when all of a sudden there was no voice, it was, okay, here we go again. I can't believe she's doing this to me.
Well, I want you to know she has spoken about how you were supposed to be there in her life at that time to save her. She has spoken of you many times, and I did not know. Oh, she probably has told your name, but I have two teenage kids who never leave me alone. And I'm sorry, your name again?
Yeah, Madison Walker.
One that made that medicine wheel for my dad, and she has just been in my life so many different ways, shapes, and forms. This is the Medicine Walker. She just lost her mom on the 9th, Carmen.
Oh, I'm so sorry. The 9th
and Carmen's the one that's mother I told you to pray for that had the heart surgery a couple of weeks ago.
Yep. I did a smoke ceremony for her.
And
well,
Carmen's bird just got another a female. I gave her a bird a long time ago, a male bird, and now they've had an egg.
So they're multiplying.
Yeah, they are. Our bird is, I don't have a little housey thing there, cuz we just gave her a sock and some old towels.
No, that'll do. They just,
that'll do?
A lot
okay.
of times they'll have eggs, you know, that are duds, but they usually clutch around November and March.
Okay. Well, yeah. I don't know if it's a dud or not. She won't let us near it.
What kind of bird is it?
Cockatiels.
Oh, they'll clutch anytime. If they're domestic, they'll clutch anytime.
Yeah, well, I mean nesting house. She doesn't have a nesting house up.
Yeah. They'll nest in a dish. I used to raise them.
And I used to raise them, too.
They'll nest in a
y'all are
dish.
Just too much alike. This is real freaky.
That's why I gave her. That's what she got one of my last clutches, Buffett.
Yeah, I got Buffett at your last one.
I had 18 at one time. I said, here, take this one. This is my last mate.
And he has been the most important. I mean, he's like family. He just came and flew on me, and we were watching The Office together.
That's so something.
And he comes and just sits on my leg and wants me to rub his head.
Okay, so, Carmen, I have a question for you.
Yes.
We're talking about animal totem spirit guides tonight. Do you have one, or do you feel a close kinship to one?
I'm sorry, can you repeat that?
I said we've been talking about animal guides and spirit totem. Do you have one in particular that's close to you?
As far as, you know, a particular animal?
Mm-hmm. Is there an animal that you're drawn to that you always think of? Or
a rabbit.
A rabbit?
Yes. My mother, who y'all were praying for, and I do thank you for all the prayers.
Mm-hmm.
My mother is Native American Indian.
Mm-hmm.
And because our chief is in Delaware,
mm-hmm.
she gave us her names, and my name is Running Rabbit. And I have always felt a spirit with the rabbits.
Well, that's awesome.
Their speed, their quickness, their ability to be gentle.
And multiply.
And multiply.
Yeah.
But I would have to say that I definitely would have to say if there is a spirit essence of an animal that's involved in my life, it'd be a rabbit.
Oh, that's great.
And I don't have a pet rabbit, but I think that I am a rabbit in many ways.
Carmen's a PE teacher.
Oh, cool.
And she also has been offered to go to the Olympics for rapid walking, fast walking.
Oh, cool.
So I'm very grateful for her. And she is very into the numerology and the Bible and stuff like that. And
yeah,
she's just a blessing in my life. You both are.
Well, see, you may not realize this. I'm younger than Kathy.
Anybody's older than she is. Or younger than she is.
Yeah, shut up.
She's the old crone.
I'm exactly 10 years younger than her, so I always know how old she is because she's 10 years older than me. But I, as a little kid, I always wanted to be like her.
Aww.
I did. I always did. I thought she was so beautiful. She'd ride on horses. And I tell you, she has a kinder spirit with animals, especially horses.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had all my horses, too.
We talked to the animals, didn't we, Carmen? You said I would make you go out there and just talk to them.
Oh, yeah, and then and Puppy Whoopi. She always had a spirit with them, and Kathy always tried to share that with me.
Animals are really special. They have a lot to give. They don't ask for much in return, but they have a lot to share and give people.
Yeah, you know, isn't that so true?
Mm-hmm.
Carmen, you're so sweet. You're like a sister to me. Carmen helped raise my children with me because I had 3 and 3.5 years. She was always there for me with my children.
Mm-hmm. That's what you told me.
Yeah. Oh, I loved Ashley and Matthew and Brownie and
Jason.
My
bear.
Oh, yeah.
My little bear.
Matthew's Hugh Bear. Yeah. Woo woo.
Yeah, I think I saw Matthew Monday night. I almost said, hey,
but I was
afraid I might have been wrong. Yeah, I was at the game, and I think Matthew was sitting 2 rows down from me.
Probably so.
I was like, that looks like Matthew. But is that Matthew? I don't know if that's Matthew.
Well, Carmen, what have you learned from all this ordeal with your mom and her illness and her bypass and everything?
You know, and I want you to know, I've cried a lot today. Have you ever been in that crossroads in your life where you just don't know what it is God wants you to do?
Oh my yes, God. That's where I've been for 2 weeks.
Well, I'm there too, and I look up in the sky and I'm like, God, please give me some direction. What am I supposed to do?
I can tell you that that's all I've been doing, is walking around and saying, okay, this is all that's been going on. This is all put in my feet. Now, what am I supposed to be doing?
Now, and your mother
just
passed away?
You just kind of walk around in a circle. You just kind of walk around in a circle and you can't figure it out. It's like, what do I want to be when I grow up? I don't know.
It's like a whole new dimension's opening up, a whole new life,
mm-hmm.
a whole new way. I told Tim this morning, I said, it's like opening up my eyes and everything's brand new, like I've never seen it before.
Mm-hmm.
It's all new.
I think also it's a time for women. I think I've been talking to actually quite a few that have been discussing it with me, both online, on the phone, whatever. And this is a time that we're coming into that women are going to be rejuvenating and getting people back to where they need to be. And I don't know if that's what we're feeling, an awakening of sorts, but it's really strong, and you're right, but I'm not quite sure of the purpose yet. Not sure what my purpose is yet.
Well, I'll please share it when you do find it out.
I would love to. I would just love for someone to share it for me so I know what I'm supposed to be doing. You know,
it's like letting go of all these old things and getting all these brand new body, new every dimension, new outlooks, new discernment, new everything. I've just been in total, not hibernation, but deep meditations for 2 weeks. You know, I was having that knee surgery done, and I wasn't able to have that done because of the sickness that I've been going through. But
mm-hmm.
it's like God wanted me to be settled and be still mm-hmm. and to listen. To actively just listen for a while and letting go of that house and changing and, you know.
And that's what we've all been doing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, same thing with me. We lost our house, and I'm in a new house, and lost a relationship, and lost part of the family, lost my mother. Not really lost her. She just went on, you know, and it's like, okay, so here we are. Everything's brand new. And I'm supposed to live this new life, and what is this new life supposed to be? Maybe it's supposed to be whatever we need it to be.
And in the moment, staying
mm-hmm.
in the moment.
Maybe that's what we're supposed to do.
In a quiet rest of staying in the moment, making things easy because we make them so hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's like those Chinese handcuffs. We pull and pull and pull and make them harder to get out of when all we have to do is let go and just let God.
Simplicity.
Wow, well, I wish I could only have that skill.
It's just, you know, Carmen, you have it, and Kimberly, you both have children at home, and that's difficult. But it's difficult when your children are raised because they think that they control you because they think that you can't do it.
That's because you're an old crone, though, you know?
Yeah, I'm a whole 52 years old, I am.
That's okay. You're still older than me. You're
they
still
just don't
older
want
than
me
Carmen.
To let go of that. They don't want me to let go of that house because that's the house they've known.
Yeah.
But it's time for me to move up on, Steve.
Honey, it's time. It's time.
Yes,
for
it's time for me to move on from
it.
That house.
It's
and Carmen,
time.
You know it as well as I do.
Well,
I mean,
you know, too, Kathy.
You know what, Kathy? I'm just going to go back to the house right now. The house existed in y'all's lives for negative reasons.
Yep.
That's how you came to the house. That's how Susan came to the house. That's how Uncle Walton bought that house. It wasn't bought out of joy.
No.
And I think this is the final step to healing.
Yes. Thank you, Carmen, and I believe so too.
Really, really think so. Yeah, and Mama was over here, and you know, she was reading the stuff, and she was talking about the house, and she said, da, da, da. I'm like, you know, Mom, I said, you know, the houses in that whole neighborhood are at a point where they all need to be refurbished. And it's just because, you know, when your house turns 30 years old, you got to expect to do things.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
and it's been a glorious house, but it's time to move on.
Oh, yeah,
well,
and it is.
You know,
it's time for somebody else to have memories in that house.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's part time for in listening to what Kathy's been going through, what I've been going through, and, you know, you with your mom, some of the stuff you've been going through. I look at it, and the feeling I've gotten from Kathy with you is you're a caregiver as well, and you've done a lot of things for other people. Right now, right in this moment, right in this tiny span of time, it's time for some of us, not all of us, but some of us, to take care of ourselves and learn to love ourselves and do for ourselves for a change. To put ourselves, and it's not a selfish thing. It's not a selfish thing I'm talking about, but to take time to honor ourselves and what we need and what we want. And in doing that, I think we'll be able to be there for other people. But right now, it's about what we need. And I think there's been so many people right now that have been in different forms of pain, different forms of rebirth, Kathy, like you were saying, you know, it's kind of like an awakening. You feel like everything's new to you right now.
Uh-huh.
And I think it's about that newness being there, and that we have to take time to kind of revel in it, but it's for us. Before we can really share it, we have to understand it for us and let us enjoy it. Even if it's, like you said, in the moment, you know, we have to honor that and give ourselves a little bit of time. That it's about us, healing our old wounds, healing and rebirthing ourselves so that we can go out and, you know, you do so many great things for so many people, and you're such a giving person and a loving person, and you're always putting everybody ahead of you. Right now, maybe it's about you taking a little bit of time just for Kathy. What
makes
Kathy happy? And what makes you grow?
Whew.
Carmen, would you agree with that?
I was about ready to cry. Absolutely.
Man,
I just think
I'm going to have to learn how to do that, though.
It's going to be a lesson.
Big lesson, because it's just not her nature. I've never known her not to be the giver. Do you know, I've gone to her house, and my children have Kathy's clothes. Because if she even would give you the shirt off her back, I mean, that is how giving she is. I have her pants on right now. I really do. We call them Kathy pants.
Yeah.
I
love your kids.
Let me give you a little prayer. Let me give you a little prayer, okay? And this goes with the white owl, okay, Kathy?
Okay.
And it's an affirmation, okay? Open my heart and my soul to the truth. Ask that my life's journey be illuminated before me. I ask for the wisdom to see, even in the darkness of life's challenges, and the ability to manifest my true path.
That's being there for others, but I have to be there for this whole 2 weeks of meditation, I said, I have to be here for me first. I have to be here for me. I have to be here for me. And pray for me first, and forgive me first, so I can go to others and then go to God.
And until we can do that for ourselves, we can't be there for others. We have to learn to forgive ourselves. We have to learn to do for ourselves, love ourselves, and in doing that, we're going to heal. And I know that's the truth. We are going to heal.
I didn't know that it was going to be such a big deal letting go of this house. I just didn't, because I loved it so. But I know it's just a house, and it's a lot of memories, but it's a beautiful, great house, and it's for someone else. And I know that, and I had to let go of it, and it's been hard. It's a mourning series. But I love you guys, and thank you so much for affirming that I'm doing the right thing.
I love you very much, sister. You know I do. And anything you ever need, I'm there.
I'm so
happy to get to meet you on the air.
It was wonderful, Carmen. I look forward to meeting you in person sometime soon.
I do too, and my prayers are with you, touching your heart, so that it will find gladness amongst all the sorrows.
Thank you.
And I'm going to say to do to my ladies tonight.
Okay, well, we love you.
Right,
and we're out of time. And for all the active listeners, I'm so sorry. I just kept right on talking. I did not know I was off the air. And I said some good stuff.
I love you. Yeah,
I love
you,
too.
Take care, Carmen.
And until next week, we'll see you then. And with that, we're off the air. 10-4. Good buddy.